Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey there, welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. Today we're going to look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, Repent and Believe in the Gospel. Ooh, that sounds ominous, doesn't it? Hey, but you know what? It's a really great message, and I'm excited to talk about this. We're going to look closely at that word repent. What exactly does that word repent mean? Well, I think it might surprise you a little bit. We use the word a lot. We're familiar with it, but I think it might surprise you. It is not a bad thing. And really, if we're going to follow Jesus in our lives, repentance is necessary to do that. So settle in, make yourself comfortable. I hope you got a snack, a beverage with you, whatever you want, because we're going to be spending some time around the table. I got a chair reserved for you right here, and we're going to take a close look at these readings and really let the Lord speak to us. That's why I love doing this show, because I like looking especially at the Sunday Mass readings, because they're so rich, and you have that extra second reading in there on Sunday that you don't have during your daily Masses. But when you look at them all, and you try to look for that common theme, and you know, as I've told you before, I always ask the Holy Spirit to give me that common theme, and I think I found it today. Starting with the gospel, that message to repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. Because why? Because it's really good. And, you know, if there's one goal that I have for this program, obviously my goal for this program is to let the Lord speak to you, to help you see how the Lord's speaking to you through the scriptures. But a more important goal than that is to help you to draw closer to Jesus and let him lead you to your Father in heaven. And he does that. A relationship with Christ does that. And also to help you get to know the Holy Spirit. So they're really my overall goals. The idea that there is a relevant message for you from the readings addressed to you. We can easily look at the Mass readings and find messages for everybody else in the world, right? Because we all do that. We look at something like repent and we say, yeah, I know who has to repent, not me, but that other guy. But no, it's really addressed to you and me. And that's with the beauty of Scripture. Scripture speaks directly to us. And that's what I like to do with this program. And it's such an honor to be able to spend some time with you each week, whether you're listening through the podcast or whether you're listening over the air through one of the many Catholic radio stations that airs the program. However you're joining me, I am just glad that we can do this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We do this every week. We're going to pray. Then we'll get right into the readings, okay? So please join me. And as we pray, let's just take a minute and remember that we are in the presence of God the Father, of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. They are really with us right now. And let's ask the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That's a pretty neat thing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit who dwells in us to guide our thoughts, to guide my words as we pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, what a great privilege it is to be able to call you Father and to be able to have this dialogue with you. Father, we know that you love us. We know that you are all powerful. We know that there is nothing you can't do. So when we turn to you in prayer, this is a good combination. First of all, we know you hear us, so we know you're hearing these words. We know you can handle anything that I present to you right now in prayer. And we know that you love us, so that you're going to do what's best for us, even if we don't realize what that is. So, Father, with that in mind, first of all, we praise you for your power, your might, the fact that you created the entire universe out of nothing. We give you some praise for that, because that's pretty impressive. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be born, for giving us the gift of life, for allowing us to be in your presence, for providing for all of our needs since the time we were first conceived right up until now, for sending us Jesus, for sending us the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all of these great things, Father. And Father, we lift up all of our needs. You know what they are. As I lead the prayer, I don't know what all of our needs are, but I know you do. So we give them to you. We ask you to handle them for us. We ask you, Father, to draw us closer to you, allow us to know and love you more. Father, I ask that you pour out your Spirit on me today on the program. Please give me the words that you would like me to speak, the message that you have for us. Let me know what it is. Help me get out of the way. And then, Father, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that when we hear your message, we not only understand it, but we're willing to put it into practice in our lives. Heavenly Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there we go. Always good to start this program with prayer. And again, thank you for listening, in case you're just tuning in. My name is Gary Zimak, and this is The Gary Zimak Show. We come to you once each week, and we look at the Mass readings. Right now, we are in ordinary time. So this week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for Sunday, well, for the third Sunday in ordinary time. In a few short weeks, believe it or not, we're going to be in Lent, and then we're going to shift our focus. But right now, we are in ordinary time. For more information, by the way, about my work, if you'd like to find out about my books, I have two new books coming out this year, in addition to the, I think it's eight that I've written so far. You can find all about them at my website, followingthetruth.com. Now, on this program, we speak a lot about, we focus it, center it on the Mass readings. But my specialty, I think the main focus of my ministry is overcoming worry. That's always been my thing, starting with my very first book, A Worrier's Guide to the Bible. And right up through the book I wrote for Dynamic Catholics, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and my most successful book ever, Give Up Worry for Lent. A lot of the books that I write really have to do with that topic. You know why? Because when we worry, we remove ourselves or we turn away from God, even though we don't realize we're doing it. If in order to have that relationship with God, we need to trust him. And that's hard for many of us. As somebody who has struggled with anxiety throughout my life, I realize that it's tough to do that. So that's the specialty, the focus, if you want to call it that, of my ministry. My goal with not just with this show, with all that I write and all that I do with my speaking and my daily podcast is to help you get closer to the Lord. That's what I want to do, and to break free from worry. So If you want to find out more about my books or sign up for my daily newsletter, or you want to call it a daily email reflection, you just go to followingthetruth.com and you'll be able to do it there. Okay. Let's take a look at these readings. And again, the theme today is repent and believe in the gospel. Sounds like a simple message. Look, I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before. You've heard this before. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think this is one of those messages we are so familiar with. We've heard it so many times that it's easy to tune it out or become desensitized. Yeah. Repent, believe in the gospel. Of course, I'm a Christian. But do we really do that? So that's why I want to dig a little deeper into it today. As I always do, I like to start with the gospel. The church teaches, number one, that the gospel, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold a place of prominence among all of the books of the Bible. Now, the church believes that every book in the Bible is inspired by God. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers to write what they did. But the Gospels hold a special place because the Gospels really detail the life and the words, the actions of Jesus Christ. So that's why the Gospels are extra special. And each week on the show, I lead with the Gospel because the Gospel is the Gospels, the way it works in ordinary time, the Gospels proceed sequentially. So this week, we are in the Gospel of Mark. In this liturgical year, we are reading Mark's Gospels on Sundays. And a first reading and responsorial psalm are chosen to match up with the Gospel. So they're specifically chosen. The Gospel, just each week, a little bit further in the Gospel of Mark this year. So we're just going to move sequentially. But the Gospel leads the way. The first reading, the second, then the and the responsorial psalm are chosen to support the Gospel. The second reading moves sequentially, just like the Gospel, not chosen specifically to match the Gospel, but I always look at it. My challenge is to try to tie them all in together, because I believe the Holy Spirit can give us that common theme even in the second reading, because Scripture is really connected if you look at it that way. So anyway, that's a little bit about how I run this show, in case you're not familiar, if you're a first-time listener. So we will start with the Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John had been arrested, now we're talking about, of course, John the Baptist. So after John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. Now, just a little aside here. This quote from Jesus, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. These are the first words in Mark's Gospel, the first recorded words of Jesus in Mark's Gospel. So these are important words. And when I do, you're going to hear this message again when Lent begins, and when I do my, typically when I do my parish missions or my talks during Lent, I focus on this message. This is a great theme. The kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus is telling us, God's kingdom is here. Here we go. Boys and girls, here we go. Repent and believe in the Gospel. Now, I mentioned at the start of the show about this word repent. What we need to understand is that the Gospels were written in Greek. The entire New Testament was originally written in Greek. So if you look at the original Greek manuscripts, sometimes you're going to get a better idea of exactly what the various evangelists are trying to say, because the English translation can be different in different versions of the Bible. And sometimes it's questionable. The translations kind of lose the meaning of the original word. Anyway, the word repent, you know, we've heard it all before. We typically associate it with sin, and that is certainly one aspect of it. The Greek word that Mark used when he originally wrote the manuscript is metanoia. We hear that word a lot, metanoia. It's a Greek word used, I think it's used often in church teaching. And it means, literally, to change one's mind, to change one's mind for the better, or to think differently. So, and I know, you typically hear repent, and you think, well, stop sinning, right? Don't you think about that? to stop sinning. And there is a an aspect of the word that is that does mean that. But literally, it means to change one's mind for the better, or to think differently, or to turn away from sin. But here's the great thing about that. If we just look at it, the word repent, as pertaining to sin, and that's really important, we're going to miss something. To change one's mind for the better, or to think differently, we need to look at such things as worry, because worry is a big problem when it comes to following Christ. If we're going to really trust him and really follow him, we got to do something about that. And we have to be willing to believe in the gospel. That's the other thing. The word for believe here is literally the word, the Greek word that's used for believe means to have confidence in or to trust. So what Jesus is saying is God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here. Change your mind. Think differently. Let's bring about an internal conversion. I think when you hear metanoia used in the church, it typically refers to a conversion. You change the way you think. Think differently and have confidence in the gospel. Have confidence in me, Jesus is saying. That's a great message, isn't it? Look, we look at our country right now. We look at the world. We look at our own personal problems. It's easy to get scared, isn't it? But Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is here. I need you to think differently. Trust me. I know it's hard, but isn't that a great message? If he really means that, and he does, can you imagine how great it would be to trust him? We can get there. We just do it gradually. All right, there's a little more in this gospel. Let me continue. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets, and they followed him. He walked along a little farther, and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. So what we see here, now Jesus begins to call his apostles. And if you get a chance, open your Bible and read the first chapter of Mark's gospel. So many amazing things are happening. This is just the start of it. People are being healed. Mark gets right to it. Mark's the shortest of the gospels, and he really eliminates a lot of extraneous details. He gets to the core of the message. And right away, we see Jesus calling the apostles, "Come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And Simon and Andrew follow him. They leave their nets behind. And so did James and John. That represents, I mean, these guys left their jobs to follow Jesus. That's definitely a conversion. Or somebody changing their mind, thinking differently. Not just externally. A lot of times we think of repentance just meaning externally. It really has to be internal as well. That total change in the way we think. Let's look at the first reading now and see if you can make the connection between that gospel and the first reading. First reading comes from Jonah, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh, and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. Now, that's a change of pace. And I want to explain something. We hear God repenting. And that's a bizarre concept. And I don't know, if you're like me, that's going to cause you some heartburn. What I would like to say about that is when we hear of God changing or God getting angry, hear a lot of this in the Old Testament, that's known as an anthropomorphism. I'm glad I pronounced that right. I always panic when I have these big words when I have to say them. But what that is, it's a technique where a human attribute is assigned to God. So God gets angry. God changes his mind. God repents. God doesn't do any of those things because God, by his very nature, is unchangeable. Because what happens when you repent? You get some new information or you think about something. Something new occurs to you. Well, God is all-knowing, so that can't possibly happen to him. So God doesn't actually repent. But when you try to explain a divine concept using human language and address it to a human intellect, which is us, sometimes the words, we have to use imperfect words to describe someone who is perfect. God changes his mind, but not really. What God does, the people, even though this reading states that God repented, it's really the people who are repenting. They change their ways. Jonah essentially delivered the message. You know, you guys got to clean up your act. Interestingly, Jonah didn't want to be there, but he did it anyway. And the people repented. The people changed their way of thinking. They changed their way of believing. They left their sinful ways behind. Just like the apostles did with their nets, with their jobs. Jesus said, follow after me. It's like, okay, here we go. And as we head into Lent, I mean, that's something we want to start thinking about. Are we willing to do this? Are we really willing to change our ways and follow the Lord more closely? And that's why we will be getting into this whole give up worry for Lent theme that I speak about a lot. What a great thing for us to do if we can learn to trust God more during the Lenten season. That would be a fantastic thing for us all to do. So we see this turning away from sin, turning away from selfishness, if you want to call it that, turning away from wanting to do everything by ourselves or without God's help, and turning toward him. You know, you turn away from one thing, you turn toward something else. That's the idea of repentance. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 25, teach me your ways, O Lord. And, you know, in order to repent, to change your way of thinking, to think differently, what are we going to change it to? Well, we want to change it to God's ways. So, therefore, this psalm is perfect. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I want to change, but I have to know how I am supposed to change. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from old. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. I love that word humble. Humility is not an easy thing. And in order for us to follow God, for us to be able to learn from him, to be able to have him teach us his ways, we have to be humble enough to accept that instruction. And even though we don't often do it consciously, I don't say, I'm just not going to listen to God because he doesn't know what he's talking about. I do it in a subconscious way. It just happens because deep down inside, I think my way's better, and I don't really want to listen to what God wants me to do. We all get like that because we think we know best, but we really don't. And in the end, we're only going to be happy if we're doing what he wants us to do, if we are doing his will. That's why Jesus is such a great example for us, because Jesus, when Jesus came to earth, he came to do the will of his Father. And that's what he said in John chapter 6, he said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. He sets that example for us. And what a great thing during Lent this year. See, I'm already prepping you for Lent. We're going to get ready. But with this message, I don't know how you can't look forward to the Lenten season. A great thing about Lent is a good desire for us would be to want to do the will of the Father. Mary was great at that too, the Blessed Mother. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. Not only did she willingly accept the invitation to become the mother of the Messiah, she said, I'm the Lord's handmaid. I'm his servant. You know, that she's just saying, in everything, not just for this one particular event, I am the Lord's handmaid. Whatever the Lord needs me to do, I'll do. And then as far as becoming the mother of the Savior, Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. Goes without saying, I'll do this. I'm just the servant of the Lord. You know, that's a great mindset to get into. That's exactly what Jesus did. I came to do the will of the Father. Good stuff. The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. You know what? I think that last sentence sums up everything else that St. Paul is saying here. The world in its present form is passing away. What he's saying is don't get too caught up with the things of the world, because this world is passing away. The world we should be concerned about mainly, even though we have things to handle in this life, is the world of, is the life beyond the life on earth, eternal life. And we want to make sure we do what's necessary, what we can, to get to heaven, which sometimes requires a change of heart, a repentance. The world in its present form is passing away. That's why the apostles in the gospel today, they were able to leave their jobs. It doesn't mean you have to leave your job necessarily to follow Jesus, but it means you have to change the way you think. And what gets us into trouble? The things of the world, the pleasures here below, the worries of the world, the struggles, the distractions. That's what gets us into trouble. So this reading is reminding us, you know, don't get too hung up about earthly things and power and success, even people. Repent, change the way you think, and turn to Jesus and trust in him. Follow him. That's the message. Believe it or not, we are just about out of time. The time goes fast. I get excited talking about these readings. Man, these were some good ones. As always, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. By the way, as we bring this show to a close, you've been very good to me, helping me with donations. As we go forward, this is going to be an incredibly challenging year for me as someone who makes a living in full-time ministry. Speaking is just about out the window still. Churches are not scheduling yet for talks. So if you are able to help support my ministry, I could really use you right now. And the way you could do that is to go to followingthetruth.com. and sign up to become a monthly sponsor. That would help me so much right now. $10 a month, $25, $50, whatever you can afford. You can cancel it at any time, but it would really help me to continue moving forward, to support my family, and to keep producing these shows and all of my shows, as well as my daily email reflection. Followingthetruth.com. Just click on donate, and you could sign up to be a monthly sponsor if you would rather make a one-time donation. The monthly sponsorships are really important right now, but if you would rather make a one-time donation, that would certainly help too. You can do that as well. Followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you will have both options there. Okay, you are fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate spending time with you. God bless you. I look forward to being back with you next week on the Gary Zimek Show. Bye-bye now.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.